The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
And you continue to say the 2020 election was rigged and stolen. Now, the nonpartisan fact-checking site PolitiFact says that's just totally false, and it really doesn't square with the fact that many Republicans up and down the ballot won in Georgia while President Trump lost in 2020. So why do you continue to say the election was rigged without any evidence?
First of all, that's the lie from the liberal media right there. Right there. Oh, we don't have any evidence. I just cited a court case in Fulton County where the evidence is compelling. The judge even ruled to unseal the ballots. And this is what he saw. He saw fraudulent ballots. He saw redundant ballots. He saw signature verification that didn't match. Only 9 absentee ballots in DeKalb County rejected out of 136,000. Only 10 out of 147,000 in Fulton County. And then the biggest thing now is what the governor has seen. He saw it in May last year, and that's this ballot trafficking, ballot harvesting that he saw in May of last year, chose to do nothing about it. As a matter of fact, you know, he actually allowed all this to happen with a consent decree. Now he says, oh no, that wasn't it, it's a myth, but that changed the validation of absentee ballot voter ID, absolutely eliminated it. The second thing he did is wouldn't allow us a special session to get at what was happening so it wouldn't happen again in November. He's denied anything this year, not investigating anything. As we stand here tonight, not one investigation and prosecution has been held under this governor's watch. What he says is, well, what's the big deal, David? We've always had voter fraud in elections in Georgia. That's not acceptable.
That's from the gubernatorial debate last night in Georgia. Governor Kemp is in a heated race. I think the runoff, or it's not a runoff, it's the primary. I think that's about a month from now. But there's Governor Kemp having to answer for the fact that he did nothing. He did nothing. And David Perdue, for his part, I mean, he's come around. He ran in that Senate runoff back in January of 2021. Didn't say much about the election being rigged back then. But he, as you can see there, he certainly is now, and this is in a prominent race for governor. To even bring it up, Eugene Robinson had his piece in the Washington Post saying that to even bring up the subject is disqualifying in itself. You can't eat. They want to squash this disinformation, the big lie, as they call it. And Perdue, of course, is exposing their big lie. To say that the election was perfect is a complete and total lie. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We certainly appreciate you joining our growing audience. You can get to the live audio stream of this show at CRN Digital Talk Radio, Channel 3 on that platform every weekday morning. Of course, we broadcast the Friday edition of this show on our station in Phoenix as well. But if you'd like to listen to us every weekday, just either go through CRN or go to our very own website. That's thetrumpet.com. You can go to thetrumpet.com/live, and that takes you to the live stream page. It plays every weekday at 11 a.m. Central Standard Time of the United States. That would be 9 a.m. on the West Coast. So go to that page, thetrumpet.com/live, or you can just check out the front page of the website always to see those podcasts that are posted after the fact. If you'd like to submit some feedback, you can write the show, td@thetrumpet.com, or you can call the program, our toll-free number here in the United States and Canada and the Caribbean, I should add. That's 1-866-930-3024. Later on in the show, we're going to concentrate on Mystery of the Ages, the work that Herbert Armstrong produced way back in 1985, answers all of the most important questions in life. That's Mystery of the Ages by Herbert W. Armstrong. The best part of that exchange there between the reporter and David Perdue is the fact that the reporter, the way he sets up the question, he says, now, according to PolitiFact, the fact-checking has been done. There's no evidence of voter fraud. That's a perfect illustration of about how much effort journalists have put in to actually examine the evidence. He says, look, the fact-checking's been done. How do I know this? Well, PolitiFact. As if PolitiFact is nonpartisan. How easy is it today to be a journalist, to report on the news, if all that you're doing is relying on these, you know, whatever it is, George Soros-funded websites, Media Matters and the like? If that's where you go and your job is to just regurgitate that, that's not that difficult. But to actually go through and examine the evidence, the reason why there are more and more people now speaking out is because some few have actually looked at the evidence. David Perdue obviously is following some of those cases in Georgia. We've been telling you this week about the documentaries. The movie Rigged from a month or two ago, and then the one by Dinesh D'Souza coming out next week. 2,000 mules, all of that ballot harvesting, all of that theft, the steal of the century. It happened, and the evidence is there. But look at how much fake news you have to wade yourself through just to get to the truth. The way that that reporter asked the question tells you all that you need to know. So much fakery and phoniness. Speaking of that, by the way, just to shift gears a bit, there was this, I believe this is Question Time from the UK, but this was a young man who, you've got the panel of experts, I don't know who they are, but anyway, you can see their reaction when this young kid exposes another big lie. Boris Johnson, you have all these lockdown rules, right? And we know the health minister, even the prime minister himself, they broke all the rules themselves. They didn't abide by the rules, but they enforced them. Oh, did they ever? And what does that tell you about all of those draconian measures put in place by, in this case, the UK government? Listen to this exchange, clip 9.
I think what it shows that by Boris Johnson breaking the rules was that they were absurd in the first place. And that we should never have gone into lockdown. And that it was the biggest mistake, I think, that the government has made. Because we now have a mental health crisis. We now have children who have to catch up on their lost learning. And we have NHS backlogs of over 6 million people. And we have cancer patients who can't get seen, who died during lockdown. No one talks about that. Why are we not talking about the collateral damage from 2 years of lockdowns, which have destroyed the economy and which have caused the cost of living crisis that's happened today?
Get that young man a trumpet subscription. The cure is killing us. Where did you hear that last year? Actually, it was the year before. 2 years on. All of the lockdown madness. And there he is, a young man just pointing out what should be obvious to everyone in the media. Why are we not discussing the collateral damage? Why are we not discussing the side effects? Look at what it's done to our economy. Well, now we're supposed to be pulling out of it, I guess. Everything locked down, and so that favored Joe Biden, the fake administration, as they came in last January, and then added new jobs that had been shut down, basically. So he was trying to sell us on the fact that the economy was just humming along all last year, on into this year. And then you get the news this week of, America's economy is shrinking. This is from ABC News, clip 1.
And a reversal for the pandemic recovery, the economy contracted in the first quarter of 2022 after a year of rapid growth. The nation's output of goods and services, the GDP, fell 1.4%, the weakest showing since the early days of COVID. The report fueling fears of a possible recession.
Just takes one more quarter and we are headlong into a recession. CNBC says gross domestic product unexpectedly declined at a 1.4% annualized pace in the first quarter, marking an abrupt reversal for an economy coming off its best performance since 1984, the Commerce Department reported Thursday. It says the negative growth rate missed even the subdued Dow Jones estimate of a 1% gain for the quarter. They're expecting at least a modest gain. As it is, it shrinks by 1.4%. And another unexpected turn. Here's the fake president as he tried to put a positive spin on this news yesterday, clip 10.
I think what you're seeing is enormous growth in the country.
Enormous growth? That's what this is? One more quarter of a negative number, and we are into recession mode. And we already know all about the skyrocketing inflation, the cost for fuel and food, everything. The supply chain crisis. Listen to him try to, well, this is what his take is on the possibility of a recession. Clip 2.
Well, I'm not concerned about a recession. And I mean, you're always concerned about a recession, but the GDP, you know, fell to 1.4%. But here's the deal.
And then he goes on to try to put a positive spin on it. It's difficult for the propagandists in the press to do this. This was CNN yesterday, clip 12.
Most economists were expecting a positive growth number. Instead, the numbers show the worst quarter in 2 years.
So much for the post-COVID lockdown recovery. 1.4% down. The GDP of the United States of America. One last bit. This is actually, I think, another CNN segment on Joe Biden's plummeting approval rating among black people. This is clip 3.
Not just inflation that's challenging President Biden before the midterms. There's another potential headwind. New polling suggests that black voters may be souring on Democrats. CNN's senior data reporter Harry Enten is here. Harry, great to see you.
Nice to see you.
So you have found that Biden's approval with black Americans is down. How far are we talking here?
I mean, it's really down. I mean, you can see it here at the beginning of his term. He was at 87%. Look at where he is over the last few months. 67%. That's a 20-point drop.
20-point drop among black people. I mean, that's been a Democratic stronghold for decades. A 20% drop. I think I saw a humorous tweet saying that it's as if the Biden administration is throwing the games now so that it can get the number one draft pick. Like, it's just purposefully choosing to lose every single policy. This week with the announcement, we're going to try to pay everyone student loan debt. We're going to waive the debt. We're going to, hey, we want to send another $33 billion to Ukraine. $33 billion that the United States doesn't have. And this follows the $13.6 billion that we've already given. So now we're funding this war against Russia. I mean, you've got the United States basically at war with Russia. These are astronomical figures. We're getting into the territory of Afghanistan, what we were funding over there. And there we had an actual army in place until the humiliating evacuation, of course. Tens of billions of dollars. Nobody in Europe is paying anything like this. What is going on? The Wall Street Journal, it says the proposal described by administration officials includes $20.4 billion in military and security aid, an additional $8.5 billion in economic assistance to help Ukraine respond to the crisis and provide basic services for its people, and another $3 billion in humanitarian aid. What was it that President Trump was asking for just a southern border security fence? It was like $8 or $9 billion. He couldn't get anything. He couldn't get $100 from Congress. But out comes Chuck Schumer. If it's about Ukraine's border security, we got $33 billion lined up for you. And that'll get you through September, and then maybe we can keep the gravy train going. Even after that, how about it? What are these people thinking? This is not, as we've said over and over again, this is not incompetence. They're doing it all on purpose. Listen to Tucker Carlson last night as he discussed this topic. Clip 7.
The Senate Majority Leader has announced that we are sending another $33 billion to Ukraine.
Mr. President, this morning, President Biden has sent Congress his request for $33 billion in emergency funding to support the Ukrainian people. This is a big but critically necessary package. I will make sure the Senate prioritizes this important funding package so we can get help to the Ukrainian people fast, ASAP.
Yeah, another $33 billion. Now, that's far more than Donald Trump asked for to fund his border wall. That's more than half what we spend on education in this country. And it was announced on exactly the same day that we learned that our economy is speeding toward recession at a time of record high inflation when we're facing food and energy shortages.
Priorities. Now, there's no denying the fact that, as we've said, Putin is on the march. The prophesied Prince of Rosh, he's taking advantage of a weak, impotent United States. But $33 billion? Ukraine's not getting as many headlines now, but they're still, these radical communists, they're still trying to keep it on the front page. It's a nice little distraction. They still, I heard Pelosi just recently, she's still calling it the Putin price hike. It's all, I guess the 1.4% GDP shrinkage, is that Putin as well? Are we losing jobs now? Are people losing jobs because of Putin? $33 billion, and Schumer's going to make sure it gets to the Ukrainian people fast. I'm anxious for the reports down the road to see how much of this money just made its way to the oligarchs or was just wasted away into nothing. Listen to Tucker last night. He uses, within this segment, he refers to the another botch of a teleprompter reading that Joe Biden made yesterday. But listen to the rest of this segment, clip 8.
Here's the president's explanation. And remember, as you watch this, this guy is actually the president.
I'm also sending to Congress a comprehensive package of that will enhance our underlying effort to accommodate the Russian oligarchs and make sure we take their ill-begotten gains. We're going to accommodate them. We're going to seize their yachts, their luxury homes, and other ill-begotten gains of Putin's kleptocracy and the guys who are the kleptocracies.
Yeah. 25th Amendment, anyone? This is not sustainable. We are right at the edge of a nuclear conflict with a country that is threatening to use nuclear weapons against us. And that's the guy we trust to have the fine motor skills necessary to keep us all from dying. It's a very dangerous time, and no one's saying so out loud.
He is. But you look at what's happening. It's a dangerous time. And look at who's presiding over the United States of America. Joe Biden, of course, is the puppet. But shame on his handlers, his wife, to just let this happen. To pretend as if everything is perfect, just like with the election. You zoom in on that that video of the fake president, and it's a pretty sad sight. The vacant look from his eyes. He is not well. He's not doing well. And this is not something to make fun of. But this is the United States of America being led by this regime. Barack Obama's running it from the basement, as he's always dreamed about doing. And here we're sending off the tens of billions of dollars to take care of Ukraine's border security, even as the United States is being invaded. Invaded at the southern border. Tens of thousands every day, and it's going to be a lot more once Title 42 is lifted. The DHS Secretary Mayorkas, I mean, he's having his testimony this week before those committees. And this is an organization that's got all, I mean, they've got their plan for the pronouns. They're woke, of course, just like all the other government agencies. They've got the plans to, well, to now battle misinformation. You've got the far leftist communist, that woman, we'll get to her in just a second. She's going to go after misinformation, anyone that disagrees with the Joe Bama people. There's a plan in place for that. But when it talks, white supremacists, we got to go after them. That's the number one threat facing America. But when it comes to the Department of Homeland Security, securing our southern border, there's no plan. No plan to stop the illegal flow. No plan to send them back. Just leave it wide open. Leave it wide open. Here's the DHS Secretary Mayorkas talking about how wonderful he's done in that position. Clip 4.
Yet we have effectively managed an unprecedented number of non-citizens seeking to enter the United States and interdicted more drugs and disrupted more smuggling operations than ever before.
It's an absolute catastrophe. And he, what did he say? We've effectively managed the situation. So how do you help someone like that? I guess you can go after him in these hearings, but that seems to be all that we get from Congress these days, is just a strong statement in a hearing. And meanwhile, nothing is done. For Ukraine, no problem. Biden gets up, $33 billion. Chuck Schumer's on board. We want to get it out to the Ukrainian people quick. And nothing is done about America's own border security. Listen to this exchange. This is Jim Jordan, I believe, asking the secretary. This is the guy heading up DHS. This is yesterday, clip 5.
Secretary, have any of the 42 illegal migrants on the terrorist watch list or no-fly list encountered on our southwest border been released into the United States?
Before I will provide that data to you with respect to the disposition of each one, I do not know the answer to your question.
These are 42 illegals on the terrorist watch list, and he doesn't know if they've been released into America or not. He has no clue. Jim Jordan, for his part, he talked about this border invasion on one of the networks, one of the news shows. This is clip 6.
What they're doing to our border, what they're doing to our country is intentional. It cannot be anything else. Because no rational person, no logical person could reach any other conclusion than they are intentionally doing, letting millions and millions of people illegally come into our country, knowing that those people know that they're going to be able to get in, stay, and never have to go home. That is their policy. And they just set a new record last month. And guess what? Next month, they're going to make it worse when they get rid of Title 42.
What we're witnessing is intentional. That's what he said there. And it's just getting worse by the month, as we see every single month as this plays out, this tragedy. Meanwhile, the same agency, the agency you would think is responsible for border security first and foremost, they've raised up this dystopian disinformation bureau to go after people that tell the truth. This woman, look at this clip. There's all kinds of clips of this woman circulating on social media. But here she is singing about disinformation. Clip 16.
Bothering is really quite ferocious. It's when a huckster takes some lies and makes them sound precocious by saying them in Congress or a mainstream outlet. So disinformation's origins are slightly less atrocious. It's how you hide a little, hide a little lie. It's how you hide a little, hide a little lie. It's how you hide a little, hide a little lie. When Rudy Giuliani shared that intel from Ukraine.
Is this for real? She's the new disinformation czar. She is. She's big time into the Russia collusion hoax. She was spreading that misinformation. She's, as you heard yesterday, she spread the misinformation about Hunter's laptop. She's, as I said on yesterday's program, she's just perfect. Listen to what she said about the lockdowns. This is from March of 2020, so 2 years ago. Anyway, long story short, I think we as a country might be too free-spirited, to put it diplomatically, to comply with social distancing recommendations unless they're forced upon us. So force away. Force away. Lock us down, she said. And now she's heading up this new department. The Department of Homeland Security's Orwellian, the new department, the Disinformation Governance Board, or as I said yesterday, the new Ministry of Truth. That's what it is. Tom Elliott at Grabian, he tweeted this out this morning. If sane voices in the Biden administration cannot counsel him into aborting his Ministry of Truth within the next few weeks, it'll surely be the death knell of his already failed presidency. His record is basically turning the government against Americans, FBI versus parents, opening the border, etc., etc. Yes, indeed. America under attack. If you don't have that booklet, call our operators today and request your free copy. The toll-free number, 1-866-930-3024. You can send feedback to the show. Email us, td@thetrumpet.com. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. We'll be right back.
The Trumpet Daily. Freedom is one of the most sought-after ideals in human history. Man's search for freedom has taken him into the fiercest of protests, struggles, revolutions, civil wars, and even world wars. Today, in the midst of free societies, many continue to fight for what they perceive as ever greater freedoms. And yet, many of these same people are actively fighting against law. Few people understand that this war against law actually undermines true freedom. To learn more, request Gerald Fleury's booklet, No Freedom Without Law. In this free booklet, you will see what the Bible says about the latter-day spirit of rebellion and lawlessness that is now so common in our nations today. Also request America Under Attack. In this booklet, you will learn more about the spirit behind this attack on law. You'll see where this is leading. Both booklets are offered freely at no cost or obligation to you. Request No Freedom Without Law and America Under Attack. Email your request to td@kpcg.fm or visit thetrumpet.com.
The Trumpet Daily.
The next piece of knowledge that has been restored to this church that the rest don't know, and no other church knows it, that this church is the first fruits. That God is not trying to save the whole world now. He's calling us out now, and he'll use us as teachers to help save the others in their turn, and they in turn from the millennium will help save all the rest in the great white throne judgment. And ultimately, God's going to go after the saving of everybody who ever lived. But no church understands that. That we are the first fruits. We are the embryo of the kingdom of God. The fact that we have to be called by God, and that salvation is not open to just anyone, whosoever will. The whosoever will may come is found in the last chapter of the Bible and does not pertain to this time at all. And no other church seems to know that. That knowledge has been restored to this church.
That knowledge restored to the church. The knowledge that the church, God's one true church, it's just the first fruits, harvest, in God's plan of redemption. And you heard Herbert Armstrong there. That clip is from 1983. But you heard him discuss this plan of redemption and how that it's God's purpose that all men be saved. Let me just read to you. I was going to go to a different verse, but I read this one in class this morning. This is from 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Listen to this. As far as a world view, this is 1 Timothy 2, verse 1. It says, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, It says, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. I mean, we need to pray, like it says in 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 1, that God would allow for us to live peaceably, that the gospel message as it goes out would have free course. So pray for protection. Pray for God to give us favor. There's a lot of people in this world that they're not exactly interested in helping to spread the gospel, the true gospel message. Some are actively working against it. And we do need God's intervention from time to time. But we also need to step back and just see the bigger picture. And Paul here in the first two verses talks about praying for all men. And then verse 3, it says, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who will, verse 4, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. God has a masterful plan and purpose in place to ensure that everyone has an opportunity to be saved. He doesn't want one person to fail. But this precious truth restored to God's church, as Herbert Armstrong explained there in that 1983 message, is that there is a definite time order to this plan of redemption. There is a time order to this purpose as it's being worked out here below. Jesus came as the first of the first fruits. You can read and study through Romans 8 and see how that we in the church are the first fruits. That means there's the second and the third and the fourth to come after. As God's family grows and expands, all of it, of course, this purpose, this plan, it all hinges on that, what Herbert Armstrong called the focal point of everything, the return of Jesus Christ to this earth. And that's when he begins the process of saving everyone. What you hear about or learn in the churches of this world is that God created man immortal. That's what happened in Genesis 3, they say. Satan came along and wrecked God's plan, leading to man's downfall. But there's still the immortal soul. That's not a true doctrine revealed in the Bible. That's fake doctrine. But Satan wrecks the plan, and then God's plan of redemption then is to try to repair the damage that was brought on by the devil. Try to repair it enough. Try to win as many human beings back to the side of God before it's too late, before we run out of time. And of course, someone who believes that, they can't really explain, well, what about all the people before Jesus even came 2,000 years ago? The hundreds of millions, perhaps billions that were living, maybe all of those that died in the flood, do they have a chance for salvation? What about all of those people living in Sodom and Gomorrah that were torched by God from heaven, fire from heaven? Is there hope for those people? Or what about all the people after the ministry of Jesus Christ who've lived and died without ever even hearing about or knowing anything that Jesus taught? There is a plan that would have all men be saved, if they're willing, of course. We're free moral agents, and we have to embrace this way of life. We have to choose it. And some few will reject it defiantly. Some few will, all the way to the bitter end, shake their fist defiantly at God. But did you know that most, when they're given an opportunity to receive the knowledge of God during the kingdom of God, during the wonderful world of tomorrow and beyond, when they're given an opportunity... to learn God's way of life, and they see all around them how it works, that they'll heartily embrace this way of life. A 1974 article, I might have read this to you on Wednesday, but it says here, how many of us have become unmindful of God's purpose and assume we were called and put into God's church only to get personal salvation and to enjoy the fellowship and social life of our local church? How many of us have let that sort of Protestantism rub off on us to where we think that getting into the church is really just about us, to get us saved, to get us saved in ahead of the rest? The world is cut off from God. I read that to you the other day, Genesis 3, verses 22 to 24. Adam and Eve rejected the tree of life, and God, it says there, he sent them forth from the Garden of Eden. He cut them off from the tree of life once they made their decision. And the whole world that has come out from Adam and Eve ever since has been going it alone, apart from God. This is why these scriptures that we refer to so often, this is why Revelation 12 and verse 9 can say, the whole world is deceived. This is why it says in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4 that Satan the devil is the god of this world. Most people don't understand any of this. It's all explained right here in this book, Mystery of the Ages. I mentioned it at the top of the show. The 800 number. If you don't have this book, if you haven't ordered this yet, if it's not part of your library, it needs to be the centerpiece. Mystery of the Ages, the 800 number, it's 1-866-930-3024. Write that number down and call our operators today or tonight or tomorrow, whenever it's convenient. We send it out. There's no cost, no obligation. We just need the address. We just need to know where to send it. But the book's already been paid for. We offer it to you freely. You can email a request if you like, td@thetrumpet.com. So Mr. Armstrong, when he was talking about Genesis 3, verses 22 through 24, in the early pages of Mystery of the Ages, he said this. He says, even in these past 58 years, I had not fully and clearly realized the significance of the fact revealed in Genesis 3, 22 to 24, that in fact God had closed the Holy Spirit and eternal life to mankind in general until the removal of Satan at the second coming of Jesus Christ. Here again, who understands this? Who preaches this? Who proclaims this other than the Church of God? It says, traditional Christian teaching had always assumed there is a contest between God and Satan, that God has been trying desperately to get the world saved. It says, but in this great controversy, Satan has been winning. In other words, God had sent Jesus Christ at his first coming to try to win this ongoing war against Satan. It says, traditional Christianity has taught that whosoever will may come and be saved through Jesus. He says, finally, for some years I had come to partially realize the error of this assumption, but the full truth on this point had not come crystal clear to me until very recently. This truth is indeed mind-boggling. It clears what had been clouded in mystery. Mystery of the Ages. Mr. Armstrong asks here on the cover, did you ever ask yourself, who am I? What am I? Why am I? Have you ever asked these questions? Have you ever sought answers to those questions? Because they're described or discussed right here in this book. Mystery of the Ages by Herbert W. Armstrong. You study the chapters of that book and you come to understand that there's no contest going on between God and Satan. God is allowing the devil to rule on the throne of this earth for 6,000 years. His reign is about over. He is to be locked away at the return of Jesus Christ. That focal point in God's plan, the return of Jesus Christ, it's now just a few years ahead of us. We are truly living in the last days. And God is getting those of us in his church ready and prepared to rise in the air and to meet with Jesus Christ at his return. We're not going to stay there. It's not some kind of rapture. That's not biblical either. You put 1 Thessalonians 4 together with 1 Corinthians 15 and other such passages. And after rising to meet Christ in the air, we're coming right back to this earth to establish the kingdom of God on this earth. And there's all kinds of prophecies that describe the establishment of that kingdom. I don't want to get too far off course here, but look at Mark chapter 1. Let's just go back to the ministry of Jesus Christ. I touched on this point the other day, how that when Christ came, he was not on a soul-saving crusade. He wasn't trying to convince people to give their hearts to the Lord or to just accept Jesus into their hearts. Instead, he came to teach a handful of disciples. This is Mark 1, verse 1 says, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And then down in verse 12, notice it says, and immediately the Spirit drove him into the wilderness. And he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted of Satan, and was with the wild beasts, and the angels ministered unto him. Then verse 14 says, now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, the time is fulfilled. Christ, in other words, had qualified to replace Satan on the throne of this earth. But that wasn't to happen in the first century. It would happen some 2,000 years later, after the second coming of Jesus Christ to this earth. It says, and the kingdom of God is at hand, or the preparation for it. It can now begin. And so what did he do to begin that process? It says in verse 16, now as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And so he saw these fishermen, and he said to them, come and follow me. And they did. They did. He said the same thing, by the way, to the young man in Matthew, I believe it's 19. And he turned and went away. He didn't follow Christ. And most people choose that course today. But there is coming a time when the kingdom of God is established on this earth and everyone's going to have access to the knowledge of God. And we, the first fruits, will be responsible for teaching them God's ways. John chapter 15, notice what it says here about the disciples of Christ. This purpose, this plan that God was working out through Jesus Christ, the first century disciples, the ones who became apostles. John 15 and verse 16, it says, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. So Jesus Christ called out and selected these disciples. They didn't choose him. God's the one who did the choosing. God's the one who selected them through Christ. And Jesus, by the way, really appealed to the Father. Show me. Show me which ones ought to be my disciples so that I can begin to teach them and help them. Help them learn how to be teachers themselves. Verse 17 says, these things I command you, that you love one another. If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. And that's right, all of them were persecuted. All of them were persecuted to death. John was one exception, but I mean, look at the apostle, look at the sacrifices, Peter and Paul. Why would the world react that way to servants of God? Well, because as Jesus explained here, God's disciples are not of this world. And so therefore the world hates the disciples of Christ. They're hostile to the truth of God because this is not God's world. This is Satan's world. And yet God did reserve the right to call out a select few, not because he favors them over the rest, but because Jesus Christ needs a wife, a bride. God needs teachers to help teach the masses when their minds are finally opened up to it. Notice Matthew 13 and verse 10. It says here, and the disciples came and said to him, why speak you unto them, that would be the crowds, the masses, why speak you unto them in parables? And he answered and said to them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to them it is not given. Now think about these simple two verses here. Most people just assume, because they don't know the Bible, they don't read the Bible, but they just assume that Jesus spoke in parables, well, to make the truth more obvious, to make it more easy for people to understand. The masses of people, the general audience. But when the disciples, the students of Christ, when they asked him why he spoke in parables, he said, so that I can teach you disciples. Them, the rest, it's not given to them to know. Now, that's an astounding truth. If Jesus was on a soul-saving crusade, why aren't there more sermons in the gospel accounts? I say more, there aren't any. But why aren't there sermons? They're saying, look, just give your heart to me before it's too late. You've got to be saved before it's too late. And furthermore, why were there only 120 disciples in Acts 1? After 3.5 years of God in the flesh, the ministry of Jesus Christ, and that's it? That's the way God planned for it to be. It did experience some rapid growth there early on in the book of Acts, but even that, you don't have to get very far into the book of Acts to find out that the true church, God's true people, the first fruits, they were scattered because of intense persecution. This is the way it's always been through history, because Satan hates the truth. Satan wants to, like we cover so much in the first segment on this show, he wants to blot out the truth. He wants to blot out our nation. John 6 and verse 44, I read this Wednesday. It says, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. Well, that's quite different from what you hear in the world of traditional Christianity, which essentially says anyone can come. The doors are wide open. And here Jesus said, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. Unless God draws you, unless God opens your mind, it's like Herbert Armstrong has explained so many times before. You can talk until you're blue in the face. He was lamenting the fact that even God's own people weren't getting this truth deeply enough, as I covered with you on Wednesday. He told God's people, I think I could speak here until 1 a.m. and you still wouldn't get it. If God's people weren't getting it there in the late 1980s, what does that say about the rest in this world? And then, of course, speaking of the world, you've got billions of people who are completely and totally unaware of Jesus Christ or his message. What about them? Is there hope for them? Will they have an opportunity for salvation? The Christian denominations of this world cannot answer that question. They don't know. Or if they're honest, they have to conclude that, well, if they don't give their heart to the Lord, they're going to go to hell. They're going to burn in hell. Does that sound like a fair and just and hopeful message? This world is off the rails. There's no getting around that. And there is pain and suffering and anguish. But even that, why is there so much pain and suffering and anguish? If this is God's world, why would he allow it? Why wouldn't God intervene to prevent some mass tragedy or a massive earthquake or something like this? The fact is, this is not God's world. And the fact that this world is about to explode in violence is proof of that. When God establishes his rule on earth, men will resist and fight against it initially. But he will, in the end, he will impose his will on humanity. And then, finally, we can begin to see how peace and safety and prosperity and comfort is coming to all who have ever lived. That's a hopeful message. That's a hopeful message. Verse 45 in John 6 here, it says, "It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. Every man, therefore, that has heard and has learned of the Father comes unto me." See, this is a good verse to read in addition to verse 44. We've got to be ready to teach. When those minds are open, when God finally does send his Son to this earth, this focal point of God's plan of redemption, the return of Christ to this earth, then he'll set his hand to saving all of mankind. All people will be taught of God, taught by teachers. And those of us in God's church today, we are those teachers. And as Christ's wife, our calling is to bring children right into the family of God. All of this and so much more is explained, as I say, in this wonderful book, Mystery of the Ages, written by Herbert Armstrong in the last year of his life. He was virtually blind, 93 years of age, but what a labor of love as he pulled together the chapters contained in this wonderful book. Call our operators, 1-866-930-3024, and request your free copy of Mystery of the Ages. A couple of emails here, since we have a few minutes left. It says here, this one's from Australia, "Just wanted to say thank you for the Trumpet Daily and the PCG, as you are truly fantastic, and the way that you truly and honestly report the real news and teach us about the real God is so refreshing." That's from Australia. This one here comes from South Carolina. It says, "My husband and I very much enjoy the daily news presented on the Trumpet Daily. It's so relevant, truthful, incisive. And we love the fact that all reporting, including the great articles at the Trumpet Magazine, use the Bible to explain and help us understand what is going on with national and world events. Thank you. God bless you for your continued great reporting." This one here, this is an older one. We talked about Minneapolis and that police precinct that was burned to the ground during the rioting back in 2020. This viewer sent in a photo of the precinct. "It's still boarded up. Some things have been fixed, but not all. About 150 businesses were either torched or damaged. That includes a bank and two post offices." Quite a lot of damage. And, of course, we just kind of move on from the rioting. Move on from the rioting. I saw one, I think it was on Rachel Maddow's show, some kind of lawsuit going on with a couple of Donald Trump's security guards who shoved an individual, and I guess he's suing for damages because it was so traumatic or something. But to hear Rachel Maddow, this propagandist there, just absolutely outraged over the violence of these security guards, when you see actual violence, murder, mayhem, burning, looting that they encouraged. So much, as I said in the first segment, so much fake news. This one here says, "Republicans controlled everything for Donald Trump's first 2 years, and Republicans fought a war against Donald Trump. Republicans in D.C. are open borders fanatics. It says here, every Republican leader in the Senate and House fought Donald Trump in public, refusing to allocate any money for the wall. Says here, Donald Trump had to take money from the Pentagon just to build what little we have. Well, that ties right in with what we discussed in the first segment. $33 billion for Ukraine, no problem, but not one penny to secure America's southern border. Well, that's all that we have time for on today's show. You're listening to Stephen Flurry, and this is The Trumpet Daily. Don't forget to email us, td@thetrumpet.com. We thank you for joining us on today's show. We thank you for joining us all week, and we'll see you next week.